Well, hello everyone. Welcome to thedotmatrix.com, or just, it's really just called thedotmatrix. Our website is thedotmatrix.com. Okay, that one was pretty bad. Welcome to
take two.
No, we keep going.
Oh, of course, we will.
Episode 16.
Yes.
I'm Justin.
I'm Sean.
And that's the last time you asked me to start a podcast.
Yeah, I'll be starting it from now on, people.
Oh, I was going to make a comment about how hot it was, and I was just thinking, well, how should I make a comment as I started, and then I started, and then it didn't go. Anyway, it's hot.
It is very hot, and I'm sure most of the world has been this hot, except for Australia, which I think it's winter right now. But,
Look at you, Mr. Christopher Columbus Geographer.
I'm the walking almanac, that's for sure.
It was so hot. How hot was it? I'm just kidding.
It is Sarah hot.
Oh, nice.
I'm kidding.
Nice. That's a good preview.
Yes.
But it was so hot. It was yesterday, was Sunday, and it was my niece's second first birthday party. And it was so hot. We had 40-something people, relatives and kids, and just... And I swear I saw a little bead of sweat come down her forehead.
Oh,
I'm
really?
Like, is that her first bead of sweat ever?
Wow.
Yeah. She's very nicely spoiled because she has a... air conditioner in her room, so she has a nice...
Ooh.
I mean, when you're a baby, you want to do the best, right?
Yeah,
while her uncle, Suk Suk, as I'm called, lives in a boiler.
And where was this party? Like, was it at their place? Or?
Yeah, at their place, yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was just the hottest of hot, hot days.
Yeah.
But it's hard to... I really say it's hard to complain... Because we are here in Vancouver on the west coast of Canada where it's, you know, it's dry heat and blah, blah, blah. It's never so hot. But it's hot for us.
It is. And, you know, it's... Well, I try to look at it as... And we say this all the time. But, you know, when we're in the cold, dead winter, which isn't that cold on the grand scheme of things compared to eastern Canada or northern Canada, I think we're the most mild, actually, of... temperatures year-round on average, aren't we, in the whole country? I mean, really,
yep.
When you think about it, we've got to be some of the mildest temperatures.
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
I mean, cold or hot, I think, you know, people are like, oh, it's so hot out, you know, it's like, yeah, but we could be in Montreal or, you know,
Toronto.
But we're not.
We're not.
It would be fun to do one from Montreal. We could do it in French.
Oui.
Okay. But we won't.
So we have a nice long list of stuff to talk about today.
Yeah, we do.
And it's actually, we've actually come together again to do a podcast precisely 2 weeks after, almost precisely 2 weeks after our last one. Although the last one just got posted, so it depends on how fast we are posting this one. We may get two of them up there rather quickly, which is pretty good for us, I guess. Hopefully people don't get too... overwhelmed by so much Sean and Justin.
Well, I think it was... By the time we actually got this one posted, I was thinking too, oh, well, that'd be kind of cool. You know, kind of like a double dose.
Double
like,
dose.
If people like listening, they're like, hey, I can just download two at once instead of one. So it'll be interesting. Hopefully we'll get some feedback. Anyway.
Let's stop digressing and move on.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to talk about first?
You know what I want to talk about? And I don't really know what to talk about, really, in terms of... my feelings or thoughts on this, which happens to be a nice regular theme when I bring up topics in the news, because I've never really well read about it.
Right.
But was the news today in Pakistan that President Musharraf is resigning.
Yeah.
And I just want to bring it up because I like the fact that because we are social commentators,
mm-hmm.
and that these are supposed to be dated, you know, we are supposed to talk about stuff that is of the time, current,
mm-hmm.
right now. This is the big news of the day.
Definitely.
Other than the fact that the Beijing Olympics are happening right now.
Yeah.
But I just... I mean, it was... When you think about sort of the process of the last 9 months, say, in Pakistan, with the election and Benazir Bhutto coming back from exile, basically
killed.
Saying she, you know, her life was in danger, and then actually getting shot and killed... And enough time span for a law and order to appear based on that story, which
right.
I saw a couple of weeks ago, I think it was.
Right.
And I can't remember if it was a... I think it was a law and order criminal intent. I think it was.
Yeah, because I heard, like, that they were doing it, like...
Chris Noth was in it, that's why, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then... But correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Musharraf, didn't he already step down as army general as well?
Yes, yeah, and that happened as part of that whole process, but he was still president and still got re-elected president with basically without... He wasn't re-elected in a pretty big landslide, you know, but there was always, you know, questions. Actually, no, it wasn't a landslide. I'm mixing up things.
Yeah.
It was the opposition did win power in the government or in the legislature, but the president was a different race and that happened before or something, so...
Yeah, because they were thinking of, like a lot of opposition parties in the coalition.
Yeah, there's a coalition government and they were talking for the last number of days, if not weeks, around impeachment processes.
Crazy, huh?
And apparently he talked for an hour on a national address and said he was going to resign. He didn't want to put his country through this thing, this impeachment process. I mean, who knows who he's blown and what cigar he's put away. And, but what I thought was interesting was, and I just thought back to the fact that, you know, here's a guy who just... However he ruled his country, and, I mean, he did come to power in the military coup, of course.
Yeah.
And then just to think, like, you know, not more than a year or two ago, he was sitting there on The Daily Show, and Jon Stewart's interviewing him, having tea, right? Like,
where's Osama?
Yeah, that was his first question. But I just thought it's just a crazy turn of events, and I guess they never really proved who was responsible for killing Benazir Bhutto, but just that now it almost seems almost... I mean, everything with death always is senseless, that, you know, violent death particularly.
Yeah.
You know, like, given that, you know, she was running for, you know, the parliament, and now that he's gone anyways, like, you know, I mean, all that have to happen for that, but I guess in some ways it all does have to happen
In that world, that's how things kind of roll until they've been able to kind of get rid of some of the extremism, but yeah.
So I didn't really want to say too much. I didn't really have an opinion of it, just that it is noteworthy and pretty much, like, and it should be the thing of the day, you know?
It is good to make note. I've had mixed feelings about the guy. I'll tell you, I think he had balls, because coming from the part of the world that he does, like that region, you know, the regional stuff that's affecting the rest of the world, for him to so-called, or appear to stand by, you know, Bush and the War on Terror, it was pretty ballsy. The fact that he's actually lasted this long, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, we're talking, like, 7 years of saying, we're going to work with the states and get rid of this terrorism, you know, when a lot of it is actually born out of that country. So it's...
Right.
That took balls. And I thought, okay, whether you agree with that or not, it's like, wow, okay, give him a hand. Even though I don't think, I mean...
Is it a severed hand, or is it a...
Oh, that was really, that was awful.
Insert laugh track.
Oh, we'll dig out that laugh track later if I can get it working. But I think, you know, he was an accessible face in the world of politics, you know, like he was out in the front lines all the time. He came on The Daily Show, as you mentioned. He even though one thing that he said, which kind of irked me a bit, was, you know, because our troops are in Afghanistan, bordering them, and all their tribes people are coming over the border or doing whatever they're doing. But he goes, you know, Canadians, okay, sure, they've had in the dozens of people dead, well, that's nothing compared to the hundreds and thousands on our people. And I thought, well, is that really a way to measure it? You know, it's just like, I was kind of bothered by that comment when he said that about our country, you know, like, so, I don't know, I just want to throw that out there. It's like, oh, it's not as bad, like maybe 80 people die in a war compared to hundreds or thousands. It's like, it's all bad, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, as if, what are you complaining about? You've only had, like, a few dozen people die, you know? It's like, well, that's kind of beside the point, but okay.
Well, that leads very well to our discussion on liberalism.
Yes!
I mean, it sort of does. I mean, when you, people, I don't know, when you think about the term liberalism, and I know we want to talk about the term, and I guess sort of the viewpoint in life, on life, I guess, is what it really is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when I think about liberalism in a negative sense, people think about, you know, all those hippie liberals, you know, those anti-war people who would talk about sort of like, you know, you can't measure war in deaths, or you can't measure
like
the numbers and that sort of stuff. It's just sort of what you're talking. So your dialogue sort of led me to that point.
Mm.
But I'd rather have you start what you wanted to talk about in that sense, because it was on your radar from last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, when we ended the last podcast, I was kind of just kind of gearing towards talking about liberalism just for a couple of minutes, because, you know, we always talk about what's a conservatism, you know, and we kind of poke fun. And
yep.
But then I think, well, you know, like, liberalism, like, what does it really mean? Because I know it's got a bad rap in the States, you know?
Yeah.
And liberal means left. It means, you know, dovish, maybe, or if it means kind of like anything goes, or it means anti-war. Kind of, it's like, I think we're kind of...
free love.
Free love, free everything, you know, like free drugs, whatever. I think, you know, like legalizing marijuana, for example. Like, I think that's...
the decay of the moral fiber of your community or whatever.
And is that what it is, you know? Like, just say, if I say, go around saying I'm liberal, does that mean that I'm, see things as too easy, or is it just as black and white as conservatives would have you think?
Well, I think the label is what you make it, and who you throw it at, right? I mean, there's a great segment in the live debate episode
of
The West Wing,
which I wanted
yeah.
to bring up. I'm glad you thought of
and,
it. Okay.
And, you know, Alan Alda, who I love,
yeah.
and who was the most brilliant Republican nominee you could have in that show. Like, if you're going to get anyone, and that was the perfect
yeah.
way. And, of course, we all know how this election will end with Obama and McCain, because we just saw it on The West Wing 2 years ago, but we've talked about that.
And you know what happened, yeah.
But when Matt Santos on the Democratic side was responding to that, someone by him, and I don't know, throwing the liberal
yeah.
word as a curse word or whatever, he gets all angry and says,
yeah.
I want to, you know, take back the term, and, you know, yes, I am, I'm proud of it, we should all be proud of it. And I think it has sort of meant a lot more left or chaos. I mean, conservatives,
sure.
for the better use of the what they want to use the term for, use it in as a simplistic way to say, well, you know, it's animal warfare, jungle fever, or whatever, you know, like, it's chaos. It's just, if you let the liberals take over, it's just, you're all running around naked with,
yeah.
You know, I don't know,
like,
Speedos on your head and eating
yeah.
pigs live or something,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
you know,
totally.
You know, that you'll lose any sense of moral fiber that puts the rules and laws of the way you live together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, at least in my sense, it's that term is used in that sense a lot. And I think if you want to use the term, or anyone wants to use the term, in a more positive lens, I think how you want to use it. Like, I think people who are staunchly on the left will use the words conservatism to mean, like, the most awful word in the world, too. Right?
I know,
so it happens
yeah.
the other way, and we've talked about that in that sense, right?
Yeah.
And so it's really a perspective thing, I think.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because we always consider ourselves, like, center-left.
Yes. Yeah.
And I really think that a lot of liberalism can fit into that, actually. I think, even if you're quite center, I think that you could still consider yourself pretty liberal.
Right.
Like, when you talk to people, like, you talk to any of your friends or people you know, you rarely come across, like, staunch conservatives. You have, more recently. But, you know what I mean? Like, I think deep down when it comes to, like, just core, you know, people talk about values, like, Republican version of values, I think, is really twisted. But
yeah.
if you talk about real values, like Dalai Lama values, being non-aggressive,
right.
you know, compassionate, I consider those kind of, like, liberal way of thinking in a way.
Yeah.
It seems to me that now, like, but that's almost like, well, the world is out to get you. How can you be so daft, you know?
Right. Well, and there's that bill. I mean, but I think part of the discussion, and I think part of the confusion in this discussion, not just our discussion, but just discussion generally around liberalism and conservatism, is sort of touched on, hey, a Bill Moyers podcast.
I
right?
was going to say.
And then the difference between And we talked about this already, so I don't want to be repetitive, but for Josie, who may want to skip a few podcasts and come to here, sorry, that was kind of funny. Anyways.
It's funny when you say that, yeah.
Josie. Anyways, there's the political conservatism versus liberalism around how you think society should be structured.
Yeah.
And then there's the moral piece of conservatism. They're very two different things, and I think you could be conservative when it comes to the powers of government, but liberal in terms of how your moral values are.
Yeah.
Right? And for me, what's the more interesting thing is the moral value one. That's where there's the contentious piece. Because I think, in many ways, whether or not you want more government or less government, most people just want good government. You know, like government that actually
responsible.
Works and responsible and is compassionate and isn't wasteful. And whether or not that translates itself into a large or small government, who gives a shit, really? Just as long as it's good, you know, and you get value for what you pay for in your taxes. But the moral thing I find really interesting, and I find the label to be not so much on a value statement, but sort of like, do you err on the side of caution or do you err on the side of just, you know, not err, whatever the opposite of, you know, you be more liberal in what you give.
Kind
people.
Of free spirit or like laissez-faire.
Like when you think about, like, gay marriage, for example.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a moral issue, I guess. I mean, whatever. I mean, whatever. I mean, let's look at it as a moral issue in this sense,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
And it's basically the right for people to express their love in a legal fashion, or their commitment, their union in legal fashion. And for me, the word liberal and conservative means, in that issue, a conservative person would want to be more conservative in who they give that right to.
Mm-hmm.
They will say, well, you know, I'll err on the side of caution and give it to less people to keep it, give it value.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I would get, and for me, in my head, my definition of being between liberal and conservative, at least I never made it up until just now, this is what you're talking about, right? When you think about liberal, like, I personally want to give that right to more people than less.
Yeah.
Because I think, why would you want to deny joy, deny happiness?
Yeah.
Like, you should be, and that's when, it has more value when more people have it, when more people can share in that experience, right?
Yeah.
And I guess that's why when you think about the economic conservatism versus liberalism, the sharing the wealth versus hoarding it for yourself, if less people have more money, then you have more, that's more value for you, right?
Right.
So I guess that's where that, you know, and so I don't agree with that either. I think we should all have, you know, a good standard of living, and then yes, people are going to have more and be above that line, and some people are going to be below that line, but you shouldn't have abject poverty and outrageous wealth, right?
Which was kind of what's happening.
Yeah, and so for when you go back to the gay marriage issue, again, you know, I would be more liberal and I would be more free to give that out than less.
Yeah, go marry.
You know?
Go
yeah,
do what
like,
you want.
Huh.
Yeah, exactly, because who am I, right? Like, that's the whole thing.
Oh! And this is what got me really mad. I don't want to get away
from.
I like to usurp it into the gay marriage issue.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's such a great topic. But I was watching the CNN, some sort of pastor, some famous pastor guy interviews both McCain and Obama last night on CNN.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what his name is.
Okay.
And then they basically asked the same question to both of them. Like, right? One, you know, McCain comes on the stage, he asks this the questions, and then Obama comes and asks the same questions, see what the answers are, right? And it comes to the gay marriage issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, was it the gay marriage issue, or was it abortion? It was one or the other, when does life begin, right? And he said, like,
okay,
conception.
Great. Conception.
Like, done, you know, and then Obama talks about, you know, well, I, you know, and then he has a much more layered answer. And it was some way
sure.
It was kind of political, but in some ways I'm like, it's layered because it's not an easy question,
of course,
right?
Yeah.
So I kind of, some people would interpret it as sort of being, you know, oh God, he's just being a politician. But I think you have to give it that kind of thought, right?
Absolutely.
But again, the gay marriage was like, again, they were like, he was like, you know, I believe in, and I didn't hear McCain's answer, but I heard Obama's, he's like, I believe that marriage is a union between a man and a woman. And he said, but it's not a federal thing, it's a state thing, and so I don't have a say. So, I mean, that's, I agree with
that.
They always say that.
Yeah.
And then he goes, well, I believe in the strength of my marriage, enough in the strength of my marriage to allow civil unions, and talks about the rights. And like, well, one, civil union is very different from marriage. But two, I don't give a rat's ass if you think you're your marriage is going to be healthy to withstand the attack of gay marriage. Like, there's not going to be gay people going to your door and saying, are you having an affair? Are you going to have a affair? Like, it's sort of like saying, you know, I believe that this glass of water is never going to spill because you went to work today.
I know.
Like, what?
I fully agree. You see those people say it, that answer those questions over and over and over again. Like, when we did I tell you about this? When I saw George Stephanopoulos interview McCain on YouTube, it was like some, his George's show about gay adoption.
No.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I was beside myself. Like, basically, George Stephanopoulos, who's pretty good at asking the hard questions, like, actually getting down to it. He says, okay, McCain, are you for gay adoption or not? And he goes, I believe in parenting for, like, family values, like, two parents, as in there wouldn't be two parents in a gay adoption couple. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he kept saying that over and over again. Like, George would rephrase the question and say, okay, so you're against gay adoption, right?
Right.
And he goes, what I believe is, and instead, like, I think they're trained to say what, not to say what they're against so specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that drives me nuts. Yeah.
And that's as much the fault of the politicians and the electoral process as much as it is the media who choose to just snippet that little thing, right? Because they don't trust the media to be able to give the full answer, right?
It's almost like we can't handle it, you know? If
I know.
It's like, well, are we children, you know? And he kept saying over and over again, you know, McCain is seething by even talking about it. He can't say the word gay.
Yeah.
You almost think that George is like saying, you can't say the word gay, can you? Like, essentially,
yeah.
through his, like, read between the lines,
right?
Say, gay, say the word gay, you know?
Right.
He can't do it. It gets these guys so bad. It's so awful to them. It's so heathen-like.
Yeah.
That they can't even say the word, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I get. And when I hear that Obama example, it freaks me out because here he is, supposed to be, you know, the one that's going to change things.
Right.
And yet, he is, I've heard, more conservative than we think when it comes to certain issues.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
and
his version of, like, so-called liberal is, like, right-wing for us up here.
Yeah, I mean, no liberal in Canada could be called liberal if they said that they believe marriage is only an institution for men and women.
Yeah.
A union between a man and a woman. Right?
Whereas down there, you could still be looked at as liberal in some sense,
yeah.
even though, you know, it's like this crazy loophole that someone made up about civil unions. Like, I know that it's like a, you know, it's more like a practical thing, like benefits and that you'd receive at work or child credits or whatever they have, right? So that lets them not say the, again, it's like they can't say the word gay marriage.
Right.
It's like they can't, like either side, they can't
right.
say that because it hurts, you know?
And I guess that, going back to liberalism, I mean, that just goes to show, like, the definition, like, it is perspective, right? I mean, if you have a U.S. lens on, it means a certain thing. If you have a Canadian lens on, it means something else. If you have a Dutch lens on, it means something else, or whatever country, or what, not even country. It could be, like, you know, even within Canada, there's different views. I mean, I'm sure a liberal in Alberta is very different from a liberal here in B.C., right?
Yeah, that's so true. But, that's... I'm glad we talked about that, because we so often just go, oh, another conservative thing. But I want to kind of explore liberalism because I think a lot of people are, like, we all have different understandings of it, so.
Well, I think about, like, just to end it with that, like, we really should have a whole session about, like, marriage and gay marriage and that sort of thing, like, I as a topic, because one thing that just came to my head is, like, you know, when people are protectionism on the term marriage, like, it feels like you're being protectionist for value, to create value for what is a marriage, and in a way that makes sense only if, in theory, if something is scarce, you know, there's scarcity. Like, you know, if I have, like, a gold nugget, I only know there's so much gold in the world, right? So, I don't want you to have a gold nugget, because I want to have, if I have two, you know, like, when you only have 100 things, then who has the 100 things really matters, right?
Yeah,
like, so if you don't have the 100 thing, you don't have the same value, right? The 100 nuggets of gold. But, like, marriage isn't one of those things that's scarce. Like, you can't, like, you know, like, Order of Canada, someone has to die at a certain point for you to free up an Order of Canada spot, right? I mean,
really?
Yeah, really, yeah. I mean, but it's, like, you know, a million spots for, like, you know, 32 million people, so not, I don't know what
the odds are okay.
The odds are okay, but, like, literally, at a certain point, you do have to, someone has, like, it's not the order, there's three levels of the Order of Canada, and
yeah.
Then at the top level, it's, like, only X amount of people can have it at living at one time, and there's... people die or whatever, you know, like, that's how it works, right? So there's a scarcity thing here. But with marriage, like, just because, you know...
It's consistent renewable resource.
I know. Like, I mean, okay, fine, we run out of paper, we run out of trees, you can't have a marriage license, then you X and ones and zeros on a computer, just have a little
yeah.
PDF. Or, you know, like...
Yeah.
Like, there's always ways, or, you know, a pen. If you have a pen, you could... say that pen equals marriage if it comes to it, right? There's
yeah,
always going to be
totally.
Something that will symbolically mean marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't understand the theory of scarcity doesn't really make sense to me, at least. I mean, that's how it seems at the core root of it, right? To protect it from others.
I totally agree.
So anyway, it just came to my head.
Yeah, well, no, that's a very good point.
But speaking of scarcity and gold, I think we have enough time and we should talk about the Olympics. And we'll get back to your camping escapades at some other point, or maybe we can sneak it at the very end. But what was interesting, I sort of emailed you when we were done the last podcast to schedule this one just so we could have it in the middle of the games when it was still happening. Because it was, again, topic du jour.
For sure, lots of it.
So the thing that I'm, and my sister is... in total agreement with me on this comment, and
okay.
I've said it a million times, right, so she's probably really tired of it.
Yeah.
But again, around sort of like, when we were talking, I was complaining about Obama answering the wrong question.
Okay.
And giving the wrong answer, giving an answer to the wrong question. Like, he's being asked about, you know, gay marriage, and he said, well, my marriage is strong, so I totally believe, well, that doesn't make a difference. Who gives a rat's ass if you have a strong marriage or not, right? But, like, the big debate right now, although it's less so because Canada's won, like, 8 or 9 medals in the last 2 days, right?
That's right.
But for the first week, 8 days of no medals, and everyone's wondering, you know, what's going on? You know, Togo is winning more medals than we are.
I know.
And, what's going on? Or you know, and then all the athletes and all the commentators who are, you know, from the official sponsors or the broadcasters of the games are going, well, you know, there's so many Canadian bests, and there's so many Canadian bests, and so we're doing well, you know. Oh, well, you know, people should be proud, and of course, that's always the same argument every time.
Oh, of course. What else can I say?
But I'm like, and again, it's the answer to the wrong question. Okay, great, you know, in the pool, it is commendable, and I think we all should be commendable about, you know, Canadian athletes going in and reaching the personal best, or going, you know, 2 or 3 seconds in the pool faster than their best time. But the question that is frustrating for the whole public is, well, then why is the Canadian bar so much lower than everyone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of answers to that, and that's
mm-hmm.
where I think the interesting discussion is. But you can't talk about Canadian, you know, just because they meet their personal best. Well, I want to know why, you know, why is the Canadian record at least 5 seconds slower than the world records or the Olympic
sure.
records? And, you know...
And that's a huge,
you know,
difference.
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese records or the U.S. records or the Australian records are the world records. They are equal to, if not, you know. And so that's the question about training, facilities, coaches, intellectual property, all, you know, technology, all those different questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's always that discussion around, you know, well, do you want healthcare or do you want athletes? And, you know...
I have thoughts on that, but yeah.
And I think that's a legitimate point, but I do believe that we are wealthy enough as a nation that's not a valid question. You know, I mean, there's always going to be money, X amount for healthcare. There's always going to be X amount, you know, it's, I just don't think that's really the right way to answer it. But I mean, it's a legitimate concern. You got to make sure you balance it right. Because
I think if the balance is there, that's fair.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's like, well, it's kind of defeatist in a way to ask that question.
Right.
Because now what are we, a developing country? No. It's like, I totally agree, but you know how I feel about Olympics in general.
Yes. And I have to say, I have been obsessed. I've been watching it so much.
Really?
And I have swerved more towards your view of the games every
mm-hmm.
day and month that goes by as we get closer to the games here in Vancouver. And I'm,
yeah.
you know, but, I mean, I just, this whole, I've never felt more Chinese watching these games.
But
for
that's
some reason,
what they want,
you know?
Right? I mean, like, I was talking to a friend, actually, online the other day, and she was saying that she spoke to someone, I don't know if it was from her extended family or a friend or something, that felt really proud during the Olympic opening ceremonies and emotional because of how much they went into history. And I haven't seen them, so I can't really say. All I know is what was faked. But that is what it's for. It's for to feel proud of your country and to show the world how proud you are and have them share in that pride. And I think that's special.
And I didn't really think about that, actually. And I only thought about it just because the day before the Olympics started, like Thursday night, just starting at Friday morning at 4 a.m, right? Mm. Thursday night, I'm sitting there where my dad is, and I'm having a conversation, just my dad and I. We're watching the news, the national, and they have all these stories about China because it's the day before the games and all these different things. And I had the most engaging conversation with my father in the last 7 years. Like, we actually talked about Chinese culture, our history, for about an hour. Like, and it wasn't repetitive, and he remembered what we were talking about the whole time, and which is something else for my dad. Like, I came back thinking I was so enthralled by such a great evening I had with my father that I didn't even exercise him that whole day. I was so excited.
Cool.
And you could tell he also was interested, you know, about China and Beijing and that history piece. And and actually, we had it started a whole conversation about sort of what it means to be Chinese, and I mean, not that the games are answering that question, but it sort of brings up these questions, right? And the opening ceremonies was really fascinating to me, and it's too bad you didn't watch it, because then we could have talked about it a little bit more. But like, there were some really clear things about Chinese culture in these opening ceremonies that reminded me about how disjointed Chinese culture really is, or how yin and yang, right, is being very Chinese.
Completely.
Like, that couldn't be a better reflection of what really is Chinese culture, which is so disconnected, so contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about, like, the there's a 2008 drummers just pounding away at the very beginning. It's very impressive. Like, I was actually impressed as someone who looks at something. So, like, it's something in production value or artistically, like, it was phenomenal, but it was very, you know, reminiscent of military marching and all that, you know, like, a powerful thing.
Cool.
And then it finishes and the fireworks happen, and then all the drummers sort of look in front, look up into the stands, and wave like little boys. They're like men of really strong, like, military-looking strong men doing these drums, and then suddenly they're like little boys, couldn't hurt a fly.
Hmm.
Like within seconds of that, you know, the yin and the yang, right? And it happened two or three times. They had these kids come up and bring the Chinese flag to the pole where they're raising the flag, and they were all like little kids, and then they all sang the Chinese national anthem, and for some reason the little kids all had their right arms extended like they were doing some Hitler salute. It was very weird. I didn't understand.
But it was like more military salute.
Yeah, it was a military,
right?
Salute.
Yeah.
And then, but no one else was doing it, but just the little kids. So again, little thing. And all the saving face stuff, like, all, you know, the pollution is being fog and not smog, or the little girl who wasn't cute enough for the national interest. Like, what I find really funny is, like, in these 2 weeks, China's being, you know, treated like that crazy uncle who's come to the party without pants on, and no one's telling him, you know? Like,
you know what?
You know?
You're right about that. I was saying to Elaine the other day, I said, you know, as much as you can be critical, it's kind of unfair in some ways, because I'm like, wait a second, like, what's going on here? You know, it's China's turn, and, you know, they haven't done it in modern times, have they?
They've never hosted, at least
the modern version.
Yes,
right? Like,
when the games came, yeah, exactly.
So, it's like, well, wait a second, like, they get their big turn, and what we have, like, it just seems weird, you know, like, we're nitpicky about every single little detail and maybe overly critical. And I'm not talking the human rights stuff. I'm just talking about it's their turn, yet, like, who are we to all of a sudden be like, oh, well, that was wrong. This was faked. The girl was a crazy, ridiculous story, but it happened, you know? The point was they needed someone to to get the song out there. And if it took a girl lip syncing, then fine. You know,
right.
It totally sucks, but that's what they need to do to get this show done. That's what they need to do, you know? And it just seems weird, all the criticism. Like, sure, yeah, criticize the human rights, the, you know, the imprisonments, the whatever, the unfairness, the, you know, but you know what? Every country has their has
yeah.
their own, like, look at the U.S. I mean, when are they going to host next? Like, I'd rather boycott them because of all the war crimes and stuff. But, I mean, you could go on and on and look at who's going to do 2012? London?
London, yeah.
So that's the summer again, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, there have been scores of unfairness and warfare and stuff over the last how many centuries. It's like, we let them do it and it's
yeah.
fine, you know? So I don't know. That's my kind of take on it.
Well, it's almost like when...
It's like we're a whole world's ganging up on China all of a sudden, you know? It's like, what?
Well...
You know?
Or you see those preposterous things with the U.S. Basically shagging or wagging a political finger at Russia for basically bombing Georgia and saying,
well,
how this is not 1968. You can't
no.
go invading sovereign nations.
I know. I know. And the only reason they're friends with Georgia, may I add, is because that's a whole pipeline going under around there. I mean, it's completely insane. Like, it's totally strategic, their relationship. It has nothing to do with so-called
yeah.
democracy that's better than Russia's democracy. I mean, are we in the sandbox or something? Like, what the hell?
Well, when you, like, I'm gonna try to find some, like,
it's just unreal.
Like, some Daily Show stuff, because they keep showing, like, these clips, and you see Jon Stewart just,
oh,
like,
yeah. I know.
Like, can you not
you're
hear
one
what,
to talk.
What you're saying? Like,
I know. Over and over again, they keep doing it. Like, you can't invade sovereign nations, like, preemptively or any other way. It's like, what? I totally agree. It's probably the most ridiculous thing happening on the planet right now is that argument, you know? It's like, you can't... The states invade whoever they want. They let anyone they want, they choose to be nuclear powers. You know? I mean, like... Why is it that, like, for example, Israel gets to be a nuclear power but not really say so officially? Like, we all know they are.
Yeah, I don't
But they're not on that official list of nuclear powers.
I really don't understand that. Like,
so,
if you have it, you have it. If you don't, just say so.
If you're in the U.S. good books, then you get to do anything you want, right? I think if you're a country that your interests coincide with theirs and you're making money together, but... But anyway, we kind of got off topic, but...
Yes, but the games, yeah, like, I don't know. That's I just wanted to talk mainly about that piece. For me, like, I mean, the athleticism, I've been watching some of the events, and as typical, like, it does surprise me how much interested I am in some sports that you don't ever see. And
oh, totally.
And I totally... Oh, and that 100-meter dash, that Usain
yeah.
Bolt guy?
Yeah, yeah.
That man, like, he's half gazelle, half human. Like,
it's crazy.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
and some sports which are so entertaining to watch, like badminton, I've been watching, and it was insane, the final with the two Chinese women. Like, I saw
yeah.
Just simply amazing. And it reminds me, when people talk about these sports that you don't see unless it's in the games, if you're in North America, because there aren't, like, you know, big leagues for these, but there's, like, a badminton league in Denmark, there's volleyball leagues in Italy and whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they get them, and it kind of, I said this to my brother yesterday, I said, you know, it's kind of weird, the Olympics really shows how much of a cartel the professional sports league have it in North America, like, you know, NFL, NBA,
yeah.
Baseball, and hockey is like the poor cousin of the cartel, but they're part of it. Like, they pretty much, like, muscle out any other leagues. Like, CFL
yeah.
kind of, the Canadian Football League kind of makes it barely.
Mm-hmm.
It barely survives, but, like, you know, those rollerblading leagues don't make it. you know, like, I've never once heard of anyone. I mean, soccer's starting to try to do something.
Finally,
but,
yeah.
But, like, which is insane. Like, I don't understand how it isn't, because it's like the biggest sport in the world. And,
yeah.
like, I don't know why there isn't a badminton league. I have to watch it. It's entertaining, you know?
It's great. It's great
and,
fun.
And it's just kind of interesting, like a lot of those haven't taken a foothold because all that entertainment dollar goes to the Green Bay Packers or the,
yeah,
you know, all the sports coverage goes to that, right? And all those,
yeah,
things, right?
Absolutely.
So it's, I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. No, I didn't even begin to think the effect that the Olympic ceremonies may have had on you. Because I don't... Well, and it's great because Justin's Chinese. In case no one's seen the pictures. But, and that's great. Like, I didn't even think once that might move you, but of course it would, right?
And I never thought it either until that day before. And then I'm like, I'm going to wake up at 4 a.m. to watch it. And I did. Of course, it didn't start till 5, because I didn't think about the time changes. It was actually an hour of previews. And I'm like,
oh, right.
When the fuck is this going
to start? I know. 4 a.m. is really just that hour of the day just doesn't register, really. Like, it's 4 is the hour, you know?
Yeah.
5, okay, dawn. 3, okay, super late night. But 4, if you're up at 4, it's gotta be a good reason.
It's gotta be explosive diarrhea.
It's in the eye of the beholder, right? Like, if it's good for you, then great. But, I'm glad we touched on that, because we did what we said, and we wanted to talk about the Olympics while it was happening. We'll get this podcast out before the Olympics end.
Ooh, that's a nice challenge for us.
And then maybe, our next one, we'll see what the closing ceremonies
Yes. Well, the funny thing was people have been talking about, well, I mean, some people were absurdly asking whether or not, you know, Vancouver, will they ever make it anything remotely similar in the opening ceremony? Like, will it live up to that expectation? Well, one, no.
I don't
because,
think so.
Two, because, like, I think they were saying it's $180 million for the opening closing ceremonies. China paid for it. $180 million.
Yeah.
And
for the two?
Yeah, for the two.
Yeah.
And, well, I think there's, like, $30 million for, you know, like, there's no way, I mean...
Well, our security was, like, what, $125 million or something? Like, it's...
No, I mean, just for the opening closing ceremonies, it's $30 million, dollars, right? I mean,
yeah,
like...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess it's security to get people into the door, but...
Speaking of money, Harper just gave this town in Newfoundland $3 million for their 2010... 400th anniversary of being the second oldest settlement British colony after Jamestown. Remember Jamestown?
Yes, Jamestown,
year?
Yes.
Anyway,
wow.
$3 million.
Number
here's
two!
Here's your $3 million, you know? It's just like... Yeah, it's a little town. I can't remember the name of the town. Please forgive me, Newfoundlanders. But it said NL. That's Newfoundland, right?
Newfoundland and Labrador, yeah.
And Labrador. Okay, yeah. Sure. So it might be in Labrador. I'm not sure, but... I think they should be their own provinces. If you want to be Labrador, you be Labrador, but stay in Canada. Anyway, so, I guess that probably wraps it up for us today.
I think so.
Well, thanks for listening, all. And yeah, yes, as Justin mentioned at the top of the podcast, the dot matrix.
.com.
Yeah. Do we have the .com? Do we not? We do a yahoo.com. We could do it like that, or think
wow,
of our
no,
own.
No.
We could do our own kind of .com, like that kind of thing. Or not.
The breathy post-coital .com.
You did it well. You went .com. All right. So yeah, we'll reconvene once the ceremonies are done. And we'll have tons more to talk about. And maybe we'll have a full-on gay marriage or marriage in general episode one of these days. Because we often talk about marriage.
We do. And we have to talk about Tegan and Sarah. And camping. Those are...
Yes.
We have to get to those. We can't let that topic slide too far into the future, otherwise it won't be relevant.
We'll talk about that.
Well, how can it not be relevant? But anyways.
I love Tegan and Sarah. So we will definitely get that.
Really?
Yeah, I know. A lot of people don't know that, but it's not all over my Facebook or anything. Anyway, so take care, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Yeah, have a good one.